Oh, Brad,
you done now.
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand or demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Now, can you get that, sucker?
On demand.
On demand.
Please welcome your hosts, Brad Gilmore, Ashley Imani, and DJ Motai.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Yes, I know what you're thinking. It is true. I have a cold. I've had a cold this whole week. It's terrible. But guess what? I'm still here sitting here podcasting for you, the great listeners of the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Now, last week, we started our first week of the expansion of the Brad Gilmore Show, the Brad Gilmore Show Network, whatever you want to call it. We had 5 new episodes dropped for you last week. I know, a complete 5 episodes, ridiculous amounts of podcasting going on for you, the people of the podcast. It's the people of the podcast. Last week we had my new episode 100 drop. We had the In Case You Missed It with a Harrell Wrestling Talk with me and Matt Topolsky. We had Announce Table Presents last week with Chuck Rice. The Announce Table Pilot with me and Kyle Hubbard. In case you missed it, the Loso Show with me, Brad Gilmore, and the BG Archive. The first ever episode of the Brad Gilmore Show with Mr. Kyle Hubbard. A Pat Swamped Week in podcasting. And it's not going to stop, brother. Oh, no, it's not. Because coming up next week here on the Brad Gilmore Show, you get this interview today, or this upcoming week, I should say. You get this interview today with the Brothers Lockhart, the current Reality of Wrestling Tag Team Champions. You also get the Announce Table Presents the Montreal Screwjob. Me and Kyle Hubbard break down the Montreal Screwjob. You also get, in case you missed it, the Groove 90.1 KPFT interview I did with Bobby Fats and K-Dub. And also you're going to get another episode of BG Archived with the RZA, the full interview when we talked with him about the Man with the Iron Fists, which was coming out in theaters then, his directorial debut. Talk a little bit about Wu-Tang Clan, Russell Crowe, Lucy Liu. We actually talk about Dave Bautista, which, speaking of Dave Bautista, Guardians of the Galaxy, awesome show, awesome movie, I mean. I saw it twice in theaters. Zoe Saldana, oh my God, she's so hot. Zoe Saldana is so hot. I know, I'm sorry, my girlfriend's going to kill me for saying that, but she's just so hot. She is. I can't deal. She can be green or blue with Star-Lord or in Star Trek. She's just so hot. I don't understand. Anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy, great movie. Another knock out of the park for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Shout out to them. I got a busy week, though, guys, this week. Busy, busy week. This last Thursday, my band, 2011, was nominated for a Houston Press Music Award for Best Rap Group. So we attended the ceremony. It was the 5 of us. I brought along my girlfriend, Farah. Trey Yancey's father was there. Guitar player Tyreek came and supported with us. So many names going there. Also, man, they inducted the Houston Hall of Fame class of 2014, which included Kay Reno, who longtime listeners of the Brad Gilmore Show know I love Kay Reno. And it also included Pam from Walters. There's a venue here in Houston, Texas called Walters. It used to be Walters on Washington. That's actually where I threw my first show ever. Like the first event I ever promoted, I threw it at Walters on Washington. And the lady who helped me, her name was Pam. So shout out to Pam from Walters and Kay Reno and everyone else who went into the Hall of Fame there that night. Awesome night. And, you know, unfortunately 2011 didn't win. But it was an honor to be nominated. And then later on that night, we went and performed for the first time in a few months at the Ignorance pre-show with my man Stockzilla at the Eastdown Warehouse. That was an awesome show. For the first time, I was performing in a long time. Like, it felt good to be back on stage with my brother's brother. And then the next night, the Live Life Experience. Shout out to Busy B, Dwight, We had Showstopper, 100, Dough Man, Dwayne Jackson. Man, what a slam show. I hosted the show. It was packed to the gills on Warehouse Live. Amazing night. And then last night, I'm doing this on Sunday, so two nights ago, the Reality of Wrestling TV tapings, another slam-packed set of TV tapings coming to you soon on theCUBE. And check out our YouTube page, realitywrestling.com. Awesome night. Carlito's in the building. Raj Singh. It was an awesome night. Stevie Ray, of course. Abel Andrew Jackson is the man. Ryan Davidson's the man. I just want to put that out there in the atmosphere. So great, great show. And speaking of Reality of Wrestling, our guests today on the show are the longest reigning champions in Reality of Wrestling history, the longest reigning tag team champions also in history. Eric and Andrew, the brothers Lockhart. I did this interview a few months ago. Decided to finally air it here for the people of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. Great interview. Not much to say about it. You know, y'all going to hear for yourselves. I know I got a cold. Y'all are probably sick of hearing me talk by now. Just know we're going to be back next week with another great episode. I'm going to be cured of my cough, and hopefully I can get my mixer and my microphone working. I sat down to here do some podcasting. Mixer doesn't work. Microphone's out, so I'm having to do this with my Beats headphones on, using the microphone built into the computer and the Beats headphones. So sorry for the quality, guys. You know I'm a quality Nazi, so we're definitely going to be back to having the normal great quality of the Brad Gilmore Show next week here on the Monday show. But make sure you stay tuned to all the episodes this week. The announce table is BG Archive in case you missed it. Another great week here on the Brad Gilmore Show. So y'all stay tuned. I'm going to play some music, DJ Motown's Monday Morning Music Mix, and then we're going to be back with the Brothers Lockhart here on the Brad Gilmore Show on the Mound.
Well, I got your chick out of my wheel. She rolling up while I'm driving, got her hands all of my dick. She go head first, but she diving. I'm just riding around in my city with a big bag of that sticky. My big face is in a rubber band and a bad bitch with big titties. Got your chick out of my wheel. She rolling up while I'm driving, got her hands all of my dick. She go head first, but she diving. I'm just riding around in my city with a big bag of that sticky.
Yes,
my big face is in a rubber band and a bad bitch with big titties. Okay, well, I ride and she roll it up, she give me hair while I drive and I hold the blunt. So the best part of me waking up ain't got shit to do with no Folgers cup. I put my soda up and I take a sip. Paint wetter than a lake of shit. And the hydro that I blow got my eyes lower than an Asian chick. I never save a bitch, I'm no Batman. I'm so sick of simps, I never trick the chicks. I just pimp a bitch with my backhand. And go get the chips until I'm filthy rich. And niggas hating that I'm on top now. Praying and wishing that I drop down. But the only time you see me dropping is when I'm in the old school with that top down. I'm so dirty south and got a dirty mouth. Even MTV couldn't blur me out. I got a double XL and I'ma keep on spitting until nobody sleep on me like a dirty couch. Don't busy bitch, but the girls call me Don't Bigelow. You better get your hoe before I pick up and make a roll of blunt and treat my belt buckle like a mistletoe. Well, I got your chick out of my wheel. She rolling up while I'm driving, got her hands all of my dick. She go head first, but she diving. I'm just riding around in my city with a big bag of that sticky. My big face is in a rubber band and a bad bitch with big titties. Got your chick out of my wheel. She rolling up while I'm driving, got her hands all of my dick. She go head first, but she diving. I'm just riding around in my city with a big bag of that sticky. My big face is in a rubber band and a bad bitch with big titties.
These motherfuckers mad that I'm icy. Fuck a nigga, bitch, and make him wanna fight me.
Yes,
you callin' her wifey, I'm callin' her over to come do the nasty. She said then I fuck till I beat it up belly. She rub me with lotion, I'm not even ashy. I got your chick all in my wheel. She rolled it, I light it, then pass it. She hit it, and put her hands on my dick. She a freak, but in public, she classy. She callin' me daddy and ask me to come to the crib. I tell her you out of your mind. No time for me to be diving inside of that pussy. I'd rather be out on my grind. I'm a kill coppin', no peel poppin'. Go grill rockin', fifth wheel droppin', blade steel choppin'. In a jacket, nigga like Jill partner. I'm heel partner. No hating, man. And it's time that you whack rapper state the facts that every time a nigga touch a track and fade to black and fuck next week now and we take it now. Yeah. Bitch, the H is back and I'm
we'll be right back.
top of those with a lot of hoes. Each of them wetter than a water hose. I do a lot of shows and get a little dough. Got a lot of clothes in my wardrobe. I'm at Papa Do's with a lot of hoes. Each of them wetter than a water hose. I do a lot of shows and get a little dough. Got a lot of clothes in my wardrobe. I'm at Papa Do's with a lot of hoes. Each of them wetter than a water hose. I do a lot of shows and get a little dough. Got a lot of clothes in my wardrobe. Nigga, you sick, bitch, I'm comatose. And I do the shit with my eyes closed. She got thighs exposed, had to pull. And ask her if she's down the road. She like, hell yeah. I'm like, hell yeah. She got some drove. I'm like, care to share? She like, for sure, we can't take it there. Next thing you know, we on the floor laying bare. Them niggas knocking. Guess who popped it? When she stepped in, she like, hey friend. She like, hell yeah. We like, hell yeah. We minutes later having a menage a fair. When we see them girls, they be like, hell yeah. When we see them girls, they be like, hell yeah. We brighten up their world and they like, hell yeah. It's tighter than some curls in the girl, hell yeah. We see them girls, they be like, hell yeah. We brighten up their world and they like, hell yeah. It's tighter than some curls in your girl, hell yeah. We shine like a pearl in this world, hell yeah. I'm like, hell yeah. She like, hell yeah. You like, hell no. I'm like, I don't care. We like, hell yeah. You like, hell yeah. They like, hell yeah. Hey, let's take it there.
I'm like the kind of dude that'll kiss and tell, but I feel compelled to say it was good as hell. I had a pin to tail on the donkey. Them girls showed me that monkey. After I ate it up, you know we later fucked. Then talked all night till the night sun came up. She had a good personality, never told me no fallacy. Said that her name was Valerie. Got that macking up out of me. I'm spitting like a speaker spell. A whole girl, well, she was fine too, and was quite swell. Her name was Chantel. Had her a man, mantel, and a man tell me shit, oh well. I'm aware, dude, that I had her in the nude. But if she was down for you, then she wouldn't be down to screw. Like a great take, she was like the Great Lakes. Flipped her like a pancake, stirred her like a damn shake. Like an earthquake, shit was falling everywhere. Woke up with my underwear under there. I'm like Tony Blair, got niggas running scared. You like Huggy Bear, I got your girl like, hell yeah. When we see them girls, they be like, hell yeah. We brighten up the world and they like, hell yeah. It's tighter than some curls in your girl, hell yeah. We shining like a pearl in this world, hell yeah. When we see them girls, they be like, hell yeah. We brighten up the world and they like, hell yeah. It's tighter than some curls in your girl, hell yeah. We shining like a pearl in this world, hell yeah. When we see them girls, they be like, hell yeah. We brighten up the world and they like, hell yeah. It's tighter than some curls in your girl, hell yeah. We shining like a pearl in this world, hell yeah. I'm like, hell yeah. She like, hell yeah. You like, hell no. I'm like, I don't care. We like, hell yeah. You like, hell yeah. They like, hell yeah. Hey, let's take it there. When we see them girls, they be like, hell yeah. We brighten up the world and they like, hell yeah. Yeah, it's tighter than some curls in your girl, hell yeah. We shining like a pearl in this world, hell yeah.
I don't want no lick, yo. I just want the paper.
You like, hell no. I just want the paper.
I just want the money.
You like, hell yeah.
I just want the paper.
Money is the motivator, but hey, you know that. And anyone that breeds trying to be where the dough at. And that's a cold fact, but yo, I ain't make the rules. I'm just trying to keep a couple dollars after paying dues. Matter of fact, homie, I just need a little bit. Slave every day, 9 to 5 just to get a cent. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't sick of it. The room around the cooler is they about to cut our benefits. I think it's pretty obvious the cash rule. Money isn't everything, tell it to my past dudes. Man, only chase it cause I have to. Sick of living life off of cigarettes and fast food. I really wish that I could say fuck it, but I had to cut rolling blunts out the budget. Since I need something just to help me get by, I'ma pack a bowl with my load and I'll get high.
I don't want no rape, yo. I just want the paper, the paper. The paper. I just want the paper. I just want the
money.
The paper. The paper.
of what my crew's all about.
Recently, everybody trying to get a piece of me. Like I ain't noticed when a snake put its teeth in me. I'm on the grind, all same way you need to be. A grown man with his hand out his thievery. And this finish is incentive. Anybody living trying to plot on how to get it. Now listen, I am not content with percentage. You kidding? You dumb motherfuckers better read between the digits. Yeah, homie, I'ma stay real with it. Every student I look at me like I'm a meal ticket. I just deal with it. It ain't nothing new. Money make them turn their back as they front on you. And I hustle too hard just to sit in class. I got dreams of getting past lower middle class. If you're feeling broke, go and turn your speakers up. Just the anthem for anyone that need a buzz.
I don't wanna rape ya. I just want the paper. The paper. The paper. I just want the paper. I just want the
money.
Paper, the paper,
my crew's all about paper.
All I do is fixate on ways that I can get cake. So why ain't arguing when I hear him call the kid fake? I would kill the art if it would get my shit straight. And I'm surprised, you surprised that I'm this vague. I mean, really though, at least I tell the truth. Even when the lies are easier to sell to you. If you really took the time to stop and listen, you could tell the contradiction isn't really contradicted. They're telling me that I forgot the mission. I'm pretty about to piss in, it's still about you pissing. Nah, you ain't following the logic. Basically, I'm saying if you swallow in my pockets. And the truth hurts, what I gotta tell it for. If I'm selling out, of course, I'll be selling short. I'm the type of dude that act while you in a day. If time is money, y'all go broke if I sit and wait. Yeah, Kyle Hubbard. Space City Records representative.
The motherfuckers mad that
and oh yeah. And I'm high.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the greatest podcast, I think, in professional wrestling history. Yes, this is the second edition of Reality Check, Reality Wrestling's first, premier, and only official podcast. Every other week, every other Thursday here on realityofwrestling.com, iTunes, and soon to be on Stitcher Radio. Right now, if you listened to the last episode with Kelly Kevin, you do know in the middle of it, we were interrupted. Me and Kelly Kevin, Kevin Bernhard, were interrupted by my guests. Yes, that's right, plural today. They are the current and reigning defending Reality of Wrestling tag team champions, the Brothers Lockhart, Eric and Andrew. How y'all doing, guys?
Doing decent, man.
Here.
Good to be here.
Thank you for having us here, Brad.
Just so the listeners, because this isn't visual. People
absolutely
listen to this.
Absolutely.
Just so they know which voice is which. Say names individually so they can figure out the names.
Right now, you are listening to Eric Lockhart.
And Andrew Lockhart.
They sound very similar,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, good luck.
Y'all sound like the commentators on Main Event.
Ooh, yeah.
Y'all sound very similar to one another. But no, man, you know, finally we get to sit down and do this. We get the podcast. I'm very excited. Y'all have been in Reality of Wrestling for a while now. How long has it been? Like over a year?
Yeah. It was November 2012 that
okay.
we came down.
Yep. Okay, yeah, so right around the same time I came down. So
yeah.
we've been here about the same time. And
sure.
y'all it's been an amazing ride to see y'all work, you know, all these shows and to finally realize the tag team championships, which is the pinnacle for any tag team, especially in Reality of Wrestling. You want those coveted Reality of Wrestling tag team championships. But let's take it back. Let's go all the way back. This is Reality Check. I'm trying to get to know y'all, all right? Eric and Andrew. Eric, you're the older brother, correct?
Correct.
A lot of people think y'all are twins.
Yeah, and you know, surprisingly, we never got that up north at all.
Not
until we came to Texas, and everywhere we go. It doesn't matter if we're wrestling, if we're just at the store, shopping, we get it all the time. Hey, are you two twins?
When we say no, they think I'm the oldest.
Really?
Yeah. I got to throw that in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's nice. But, I mean, it gives us plenty of room for the Doug Butabi, Steve Butabi, your brothers. No. Yeah. But, I mean, we got our lines. Hey, are you twins? Well, are you into that?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Depending who's asking, of course. Yeah.
You know, y'all are a tag team and a brother tag team at that. There's been great brother tag teams in the history of professional wrestling. And a lot of them, though, not a lot, but some of them, they're not even related, and you think they're brothers.
Oh, yeah.
To me, when I found out
Arn and Ole Anderson were not related, I lost my shit a little bit. I was like, what? Arn Anderson's real name isn't Arn Anderson?
Yeah.
I even know what it is. It's something weird, though. And I'm like, why would you pick the name Arn Anderson if that's not your real name? But I digress.
Because of Ole.
because
he looked like him. That was,
they did. They had a similarity.
CW.
Yeah. CW Anderson. Jeez,
yeah.
Same thing.
Man, the Anderson tag teams.
No, but it's funny that you bring up the brothers thing, because for that reason, we call ourselves the Brothers Lockhart, which is completely different, because, you know, you've had your Beverly Brothers, your Major Brothers, your Steiner Brothers. What's another brother tag team?
Let's see. You name some.
What's another good brother tag team?
They had the name Brothers in it?
Harlem Heat? Oh, no, I said good.
But was it Rougeau Brothers? Did they go by the Rougeau Brothers?
Oh, man. No, it's fine.
Did the Rougeaus go by the Rougeau brothers?
They actually did, yes.
Okay, yeah,
they
did.
So, like, yeah, as far as I know, we're the only ones to save the name for last, because we want people to remember Lockhart.
Yeah, not brothers.
The Brothers Lockhart.
It was funny, like, in the mid-90s, there was a big boys craze. Like, you had Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys, and always with a Z at the end of it.
Well, yeah.
It was very 1990s.
Speaking of teams that you couldn't believe weren't brothers, Dudley Boys? I'm like, what?
Right?
Really? Are you serious?
Y'all aren't related? What?
Or are they? Have they said that yet?
I think kayfabe has been broken. I do not think
that's
that
how you pronounce
that's
it.
That's a good question. Yeah, right. Are we breaking kayfabe on this cast?
Kayfabe?
Yeah.
Kayfabe,
yeah.
Okay.
We all read that on probably like Wikipedia when we were growing up, right?
And I actually
like,
read it in kayfabe? A book.
You read it in a book?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was, like, back when, you know, there wasn't dirt sheets, you read stuff in books.
Yeah, what was the book? You remember?
I wrote it.
Yeah, boy, that was a doozy. That was a read. What was it?
Eric's talking, by the way.
Yeah.
Man, I think Mike Mooneyham wrote it.
Okay.
Or someone else affiliated with PWI. But
my favorite professional wrestling book growing up was literally a book called The Buzz on Professional Wrestling. It had Goldberg doing the Hulk Hogan pose on the cover with the world title.
There is some weird... mine was... I think it was Sex, Lies, and Headlocks.
Sex, Lies, and Headlocks,
It was like a cartoon figure with Vince's face posted on it.
Yeah.
Mr. McMahon, I apologize.
Yeah, Mr. McMahon. Come on. McMahon. You're not on a first name basis yet with the old man. But I affectionately refer to him as the old man.
No means.
But so y'all aren't from Texas. Y'all are from New Richmond, Wisconsin.
Yes, you've had practice saying this.
Yes, I've gotten to say it a lot. And you know what's funny,
though? For those of you who don't know, Brad Gilmore is also the ring announcer for ROW.
Yeah, if you've never been to a live show.
Rick Astley
and for some reason, you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah. Wow. If you're not an ROW fan, but you are listening to this podcast for some unknown reason.
Thought this was Broken Skull Ranch. We're sorry.
Yes, this is
not. You made it past the Kevin one.
Yeah.
And on that note, I thought we were going to be episode one.
No, Kev was episode... Y'all came in on episode one.
See, I thought you were doing the Brad Gilmore show. Now I give you a plug. But
no, not the plug, the Brad Gilmore show on demand every Monday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. No. Yeah. You were coming in on the
you
debut.
You should say it a little slower so they get that.
Well, it's fine. Yeah. You know, we have a... On the podcast app, if you're listening through your iPhone, you can press, like, back 15 seconds. You can go back 15 seconds
and then you'll slow it down, I guess.
And then you can do the half speed. I do talk a little fast. But, okay, y'all are from Wisconsin.
Yes. I digress. I apologize.
It's all right. You're from Wisconsin, and what made you start training in professional wrestling? Let's start with you, Andrew.
Training
like, not training, but like
the when, interest.
Yeah, what where'd the interest start?
As long as I can remember, wrestling's been on TV in our house. Sitting in my dad's lap watching, sitting in his lap while action figures were being played with Eric, and we also have an older brother named Brett. And so
good name.
It was just a custom. And there's four boys growing up, two younger sisters, so there's always wrestling going on. Like, we would be, or action figures, or TV, video games. Just more and more stuff started getting to our house. So as it comes to an interest in why we liked it, you always hear these stories of people, like, saying, oh, I started watching one night when I was 12, or when I was in college. Like, that's been a part of our life forever.
Yeah,
it's always a what to do.
What's weird, though, is we were always really protective of the business.
Yeah, we were.
And we were just fans. We were just kids. Like, I remember, because like Andrew said, since we were born, it's been on TV. I remember in 98 when Stone Cold got hot, and all of a sudden all my classmates were big wrestling fans.
Yeah.
DX and Stone
Cold. It drove me nuts, because, like, that was, like, our thing. It was, like, I guess it's not like we're in the same grade. We're not twins. But, like, it was my thing. And, like, all of a sudden everyone's talking about Stone Cold and talking about Tyson. And I had this one kid, like, we were walking in the hallway, and he's like, hey, I got a little sign language for you. And he, like, flipped me off. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You saw that on Raw. Because, I mean, I'm in first grade here. But, like,
yeah.
But nonetheless, we knew what the finger was because of Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And, like, I never liked that. I remember people would, like, draw people in wrestling trunks and say it's, like, the underwear they wear. And it was hot because it's not underwear. Like, it's wrestling trunks. But,
come
yeah.
on now.
I was very weird about that. Like, I didn't want anyone to be a wrestling, I guess not a wrestling fan, but to act like they knew about it because that was our thing.
Be a smark. You don't want any smarks.
I didn't even know that was our
that's what our whole family was known for in New Richmond. I mean, it was a decent sized town, but it wasn't huge. And so if pro wrestling ever came up anything, we were always asked if we were a part of it or if our dad was a part of it. And because, yeah,
yo, just
like I said, there's always that interest there because he was always a fan growing up, and he actually did radio broadcasting and interviewed a couple wrestlers whenever they would come up to the Minnesota area.
Yeah, we have old interviews with him, interviewing the Rockers, interviewing Kurt Hennig. He was talking about a cage match he was going to have in St. Paul against Hogan for the WWF strap. Like,
wow.
Yeah, and we have that all on cassette somewhere.
Cassette somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, trying to find a place to play that now might be difficult.
Well, I mean, you know how we are. I mean, look at the way we're dressed.
Yeah, y'all are wearing the Zumbas.
We definitely have the VHS and the cassette player and, you know, vinyl record player.
Okay, let's dive into that. Every time I see y'all, you know, here at WXF, which is the school, the gym.
Where we're shooting, by the way.
Where we're recording this.
Say here.
You know, I don't want to plug the school, but, you know, if you want to sign up, 9189 Winkler Street, Suite C.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway.
Houston, Texas.
Yeah, you've heard that before, right?
Just in a few Houston. Times.
But 45 seconds. Every time I see y'all are wearing the old, y'all look old school. You know, you have the fanny packs, like you said, the Zumba pants, you know, which are, if y'all don't remember, like the professional wrestlers from like the 80s love these bright colored zebra striped
yes, sir.
Pants. What does that originate from? Why wear those? And the windbreakers?
Where did we start?
You know, this all kind of just developed over time accidentally. Mm-hmm. And we were always, heck, you can even ask Booker himself, we were accused of being very old school wrestling-wise because of our background training with the Gagne family.
Yeah, which we got to talk about.
Yeah, and we'll touch that. But we wrestled old school, and we were told we need to update ourselves. But the more you get to know us, we're an old school, like, tandem.
Yeah.
Not even in the ring, outside the ring. When we were growing up, it was so long before we had a CD player in our house. I don't know, like, it's not like we were in charge of that, but our dad just wasn't having that. And actually, Kiss, the band that is, Kiss, was influenced to get a lot of technology in our house. Yeah. I remember, like, a DVD came out, and my dad's asking a guy at the video store, well, it's on VHS, right? And he's like, no, this is only a 3-disc set. And my dad's like, guess we have to get a DVD player.
DVD player.
For the love of Kiss.
Yeah.
That's right.
There was even a Kiss pinball video game.
Yes.
For a PlayStation. We didn't have a PlayStation. It's like, guess we're getting a PlayStation.
We gotta get it.
Just because of the Kiss pinball video game.
Xbox was already out. We just got a PlayStation.
Oh, PlayStation 1.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I remember when
PS1. Uh-oh.
I guess when Xbox, PlayStation 2 were a big deal, we were still playing the N64. And,
oh, like, N64.
If you want to learn to wrestle, by the way.
No Mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to learn to wrestle, you better create yourself a No Mercy and, like, get cracking.
Man, okay, here's the thing, though. WrestleMania 2000 was always, like, my favorite one.
That was
why,
right?
I got that.
He had WrestleMania 2000. Eric had No Mercy.
Yeah. Now, No Mercy was great. No Mercy was great because you could do special guest referee matches, which I always thought was really cool.
That was
guest
referee.
Guest referee.
I do that stuff all the time.
Yeah. And,
Survival.
Yeah,
Iron Man match.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, if you ever want to talk to me about No Mercy, talk to me about Survival, and I bet you I can outplay anyone listening to this in Survival mode. Brad, I'm going to pull up a bit.
Smackdown Mall.
Dig diggity dog.
Oh, man. Great things. Okay, but y'all grew up watching pro wrestling.
Are these your stats? There's 100 opponents in Survival, and I eliminated them all.
Oh, look at that.
And you make $1 million, by the way. You make $1 million SmackDown Mall dollars if you eliminate 100 people in Survival. And that's eliminating everybody. The tough part is the computer's trying to eliminate people, too. So if they're eliminating someone, you need to dive across the ring and knock them down so they don't eliminate the guy and you can get back in. It is a son of a gun.
I never was able to complete the Survival
Not even complete it?
No, I don't think I ever completed it.
But eliminating everybody's stuff.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know what's crazy? You said WrestleMania 2000, which is like my favorite wrestling game. Mm-hmm. I would always play as the Godfather, and if you turn like the knockout option on, he has this punch that would knock anybody out like first try. Mm-hmm. When we get done podcasting, I'm going to show you on my phone. I have like a screenshot of me knocking someone out in 3 seconds.
Yeah, I think I did that on SmackDown, too.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 7 seconds. Knocked out Mr. McMahon once again with Sweet Chin Music.
Oh, nice.
Using Shawn Michaels.
Okay. But, moving right along, though, you said y'all were trained by the Ganyas.
Yes, we were.
Okay, so
I guess
how
we could start from
about?
The beginning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Training. So, Andrew, you go ahead. Not even the Ganyas, before that.
There's a live event right after WrestleMania 20 in 2004 that we went to and called the XL Energy Center in St. Paul.
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah, it was a Friday night. I was only in like fifth grade, and there was some guy passing out flyers there saying Minnesota wrestlers like Shelton Benjamin and Brock Lesnar have wrestled at these shows, which wasn't true. But it was a place called Midwest Pro Wrestling. It was promoting the next show and had directions to their training facility in Minneapolis. So, man, this was like 4 or 5 years later. I still had that flyer. And I was in eighth grade, and I just gave it to my dad because we were just kind of, Brett, our older brother, and Eric were getting more older, and they were, I don't even know why we just started talking about pro wrestling.
Yeah.
It was that time. We knew it was always the dream.
Yeah.
And that was the thing, too. From the time we were in kindergarten, you would do, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, like, kindergarten through whatever grade you stopped doing that, like, it was always professional wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else was always changing theirs. Like, nah, professional wrestler.
And then, you know,
second choice would change, but professional wrestler was always first choice.
That's right.
But, like, to stem off of that, our dad had a coworker that went to one of these independent shows over in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and he printed out the roster because he went to their website. And this was, like, our dad held on to this for a couple years, just put it to the side. And, like, we were going through it one day, and Sean Daivari was on there.
Okay.
He had wrestled there before he got signed to WWE. So we're like, well, hey, this is Daivari. He's in WWE right now. It's, like, 2005-ish.
So it's like when you're still with Muhammad Hassan or whatever?
Yeah, when his run was hot.
Yeah.
Still, yeah. And so if this guy went through here, this is obviously a place to be. So we started calling around. That school had closed, but it led us to another school, and we started training in Minneapolis. And training was very basic. The guy who trained people was trained by Ken Patera.
Oh, wow.
He lasted like 2 days at his camp, but he said he was trained by Ken Patera.
He opened up his own.
Yeah. Then he went and started training people. But we got our basics done there. That guy packed up his ring and left without telling anyone. We show up one night and the ring's gone. The doors are locked.
After like 4 months.
Yeah. All of our training was completed because we paid for 4 months or 3 months or something like that of training, basic training.
But we were
once it was up, that guy bounced. And he, oddly enough, moved down to Texas. And there was a couple luchadors who were training there because there was a big Hispanic community working in Minnesota. So luchadors were training, and they brought us over to where they were going to be training, and then we learned to do lucha. And my first match in 2007 was a Lucha Libre event in St. Paul, like right next to the Capitol.
Yeah.
In St. Paul, Minnesota.
Did you wrestle under a mask?
I did not. If you're American, they want you without a mask
because
that's an appeal.
If
and I was one of the only white people on that show.
Oh, yeah.
But, I wrestled a guy called Guerrero Rojo. He was my first opponent and had that match and wrestled the next night in a town in southern Minnesota. And then we just kind of bounced around, did lucha stuff for a while until we were stalemating. We weren't doing anything. Our dad went into a shop. And Star Prairie, Wisconsin, a little small town outside New Richmond. He saw some old AWA memorabilia in there, the American Wrestling Association, for anyone who doesn't know that, owned by the Ganyas, and that's where this tie-in came. He was like, where'd you get this stuff? Oh, I used to sell cars with Greg Gagne over in Minnesota. So we got to talking to this guy who owned the shop and used to sell cars with Greg. Got a video together, got a couple pictures. We had an article written up about us in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, which is the equivalent to the Houston Chronicle down here.
Okay.
Like just about us and training, and so Greg was interested enough to come give us a look, and the rest is history from there. Started training us.
So you started training with Greg Gagne, son of Vern Gagne.
Yes, sir.
Formerly with the American Wrestling Association, like you pointed out.
Yep.
How long did y'all train with the Gagne family? And according to your Twitter bios, y'all are the last trainees of the Ganyas.
Yeah. You've done your homework.
Yes, I have. You know, I research. I like to do a little bit of...
Where'd you see that?
I think it was in the Twitter bio.
On my Twitter.
A. Lockhart. Yeah. At A. Lockhart 11.
A. Lockhart.
I think it was actually Eric underscore Lockhart. Eric with a K underscore Lockhart.
It definitely wasn't at Brad Gilmore on Twitter.
Of course not.
How about at Brad Gilmore show?
Oh, okay.
It could be on the at Brad Gilmore show. Good job. But y'all were the last trainees of the Ganyas. How would you describe Greg Gagne's training style?
Whatever you hear about Vern Gagne's training is what we went through. And oddly enough, the ring we had, because we had purchased a ring at that point, our dad did. It wasn't our money. We were both still in school at the time. Mm-hmm. High school, that is. Mm-hmm. It was in an old warehouse, no insulation, just tin walls, dirt floor, and it was very Gagne-esque because they trained in a barn.
Yeah.
So we were expected, before we were done training, to do 1,000 Hindu squats in a row. That's like, without stopping, you need to be able to do that. It took me 27 minutes to do 1,000 squats in a row, and just squatting, up and down, not stopping, 27 minutes. And the training was pretty basic. The concept, it wasn't basic, it was very in-depth, but the concept was basic. He came in on Wednesday mornings, worked with us for 4 to 5 hours, and then myself, Andrew, and our older brother, once again, Brett, were expected to, whatever he taught us, have it perfected the next time he came in a week later. And if we didn't have, say, shoulder tackles down, we weren't moving on, and he was going to stop.
Yeah.
He was going to stop coming out, even though he was getting paid.
Yeah.
But he's like, if you don't have this down, we're done. Like, because if you can't get this stuff down, you can't get it.
Yeah.
So we busted our balls all week to make sure that we were up to par. And he was picky. He never did like my shoulder tackles. Never. Never. So, heck, that's why I started throwing knees.
So how long did you train with the Ganyas?
Was that a 6-month period?
Something like that.
Yeah. We'll say
it
roughly,
was in the summer.
Roughly
that's
6 months.
I remember,
yeah.
Because it was hot.
Yeah.
Getting like cottonmouth every time. Just,
Well, spring to summer. Because there were sometimes we have footage of training with him. But it was raining because it was spring. It was raining heavy, and like that was a tin roof. You couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
You could see him talking to us.
Yeah. You can't.
I don't know who was holding the camera. So our brother. Oh, you were? Okay, so my other brother.
I had to hold the
rain.
Camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wrapping up my camera.
Andrew didn't
want
to learn to wrestle.
Well,
man, he's a mean cameraman.
He was a great cameraman.
Yeah,
not both.
His close up.
Audio technician, not so much. y'all were training with the Ganyas. What made y'all come down here to Houston, Texas, put in the call to Booker T School?
After we trained with Greg, he put us on the road for 3-4 years.
4 or 5 years.
Training or wrestling in the Midwest because he's like, you can only learn so much in the ring, which is very, very true. You need to wrestle in front of people to learn this business.
It's what Steve Austin always talks about, on the job training.
Yes, on the job training. And that is so true, and no one gets that anymore. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. No one gets... And every week, every weekend sort of thing. We were wrestling Friday through Sunday, sometimes Thursday through Sunday, to four times a week.
Wow.
That's unheard of for nowadays indie wrestling.
Yeah.
This was not the company to be with by any means. It was a very run-down little company.
It wasn't a company.
it was a circus sideshow. But we brought as much legitimacy as we could to it. But, I mean... You were in front of a live audience, nonetheless, but it wasn't always good. I remember one time in a town called DeSmit, South Dakota, my older brother and I went out and opened. My older brother, Andrew and myself's older brother, Brett, does not look like us at all.
Yeah.
Every time they made Andrew and I wrestle because of a lack of people on the roster, that was tough. Like, people were sitting there like, you're obviously brothers, what are you so mad about?
Yeah.
Like, why are you wrestling each other? Yeah. I went out and wrestled my older brother in DeSmit, South Dakota in front of one guy. One paid customer, sitting there with his beer in the back row of a 4-row seat. So you go out and you walk past this guy on your way to the ring, get in the ring. It's like, I guess we'll just kind of had training camp here and take it easy. Terrible.
Don't miss that.
But like, nonetheless, you learn to handle any situation. I had ropes break, and I'm completely comfortable with myself in the ring now. I've had marks jump in and attack us. I've had drunk ladies think they can get in and, like, fondle us. I had a ring post, actually. I hit a buckle, and the buckle across the ring from me came out into the middle of the ring. Like, the metal buckle snapped in half. All the ropes were still attached to it. And we were wrestling outside at some venue, And so they got all this cable and rope and tied it around a near tree to hold the post up.
Oh, wow.
And we did the rest of the
talk about
show
indie
like
wrestling.
Oh, man, that's where you learn to be a carny.
Right?
Oh, Fiazak and Iazay. Those Iazay Fiazak, and I don't want to Gizo Bizak. But, I mean, like, it was... we learned a lot. We wrestled, and we wrestled every walk of life there. There was one weekend I'd be wrestling, like... A little person, midget wrestlers is what they call them. One-on-one, I'd wrestle a midget wrestler, like, you know, 3 feet tall or something like that. Yeah. Next week, we'd wrestle a 7'2", 400-pound guy, 450-pound guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you learn to wrestle everybody. We've wrestled multiple midget women.
Nice.
Yeah, multiple very heavy women. it was, like I said, it was a circus sideshow. Anything that would attract people to come watch, because usually we're wrestling in bars and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, people think they're going to come see midget wrestling. In reality, there was one midget on the card.
Yeah.
And like
whatever makes them pay to get
any size,
it made your promo interesting, that's for sure.
Anything.
I'd go out there and be like, no, you guys paid for midget wrestling. Not midgets wrestling, a midget wrestling.
There you go. Yeah.
There's your midget, and we were the wrestling.
Yes, sir.
What if the gimmick was the midget was just a referee?
Yeah. We've done that, too.
Well, but sometimes that's how, you know, that'd be the big setup. I'd wrestle another guy in in the opening match, and the midget would referee. And that was always a good little... I always loved wrestling around Black Friday for that reason. Like, oh, look at my Black Friday deal. I get a wrestler and a referee half off. But then, like, the referee would get involved in the finish somehow, and then I'd set up to wrestle him later in the night. Because we're working, like, literally a 5-6-person crew. Like, that was all the guys... That was the ring crew, referees, all the boys refereed. We did announcing for each other because it was six people, and all six people were wrestlers, and we were everything else, too. We'd sell tickets when we're not wrestling at the front door.
Oh, same thing every night. Three matches, tag team match, battle row.
Yeah,
every night.
A five-person battle row main event. Every night.
Bunch
and the midget would always win. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But
so let me ask you. So you wrestle in the indies in Minnesota area.
Oh, everywhere. The Midwest.
Midwest area.
And Canada, yes.
And a little Canadian action for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
So finally you come down to Booker T's Reality of Wrestling. What brought you down here?
I called Greg and said I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, please send me anywhere. I even told him about Booker's. I'm like, Booker is a school in Houston. He knew Booker. He helped train with him and Stevie in WCW. Greg worked there for a short time.
Yeah.
So he's like, I know Booker, give me a number and I'll call him. So I contacted the manager at the school at the time, was Paul Cook. I contacted him. He helped out tremendously. He was one of the people instrumental in bringing us down here. I got a lot to thank to Paul.
You're keeping us down here.
Yeah, absolutely. He sent an email to Booker with Greg's number. Booker called Greg. Booker gave the okay. Andrew and I come down to Houston, try out, and have a terrible tryout match.
Oh,
yeah, the dark match at Christmas Chaos, right?
Oh, no. That was
okay. We had a...
You don't throw us under the bus.
Yeah. Oh, that's what
I like that.
About.
I like that you think that was a terrible match.
No. But, yeah.
We have a friend named Troy. It's actually his birthday today. Give a shout out to him. He came down here. We drove up to his place, which was another hour up north. So we drove 22 hours down here.
Straight. No sleeping, no hotels. Like
water and a bag of cookies our mom made us.
That was all nutrition we had. Yeah, we got here and like we thought this is how it was every day.
Because
Shawn Benjamin was in here, MVP was in here, and Booker was in here. And we're like, wow, is this just always like this? Usually it's just Booker, critique.
Yeah.
But Shelton and MVP happened to show up, so they're all critiquing new guys in the ring. There was two other new guys, and they put us in there against these guys we'd never met. Both of us had singles matches. And we did awful. Like, I mean, we were hardly awake at this point. Yeah. But
you made, what, 30 seconds?
It was bad.
Oh, we
did, like,
the Booker T 2-minute challenge?
I made, like, a minute 40.
Oh, hey.
It was stupid. Like,
it was bad.
It was just bad. Y'all just weren't prepared, I guess. Didn't know your opponents.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean... It's like we can hold our own in the ring, but I never thought fatigue could get to me. It kind of got to me there. I won't make too many excuses. Booker looked for different stuff than what we were doing, and we didn't know that the guys we were working didn't know what they were doing necessarily, didn't know that they weren't part of the school. We didn't know anyone, so we kind of let them lead, and that wasn't a good choice.
Mm-hmm. So you're training with Booker T, 6-time world champion, Hall of Famer,
yes, sir.
All the good stuff. And you start wrestling on the Reality of Wrestling shows, and y'all start to become one of the more popular, or now I would say probably the most popular tag team.
Oh, it's not even a tag team. Just guys on the show. The guys are part of the event.
Yeah.
On the roster.
That's on the roster. The but y'all are tag team
wrestlers is what Andrew's going for.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. Andrew's
let's
saying...
Let's not stop a tag team.
Yeah. No, let's not just hit a glass ceiling.
Individual most...
That's right.
Y'all the most over it, we were, according to Andrew.
Ever since we came down here, it's like, we're going to start a tag team division. We're going to get belts, championship titles because of you guys. And how long did that take? 8 months? Until we finally...
Until the division was like finalized and there was actually title scraps. People. Yeah.
And y'all came close to winning the first title match, right? The first Reality Wrestling inaugural tag team title match against...
Yeah, we played the whole numbers game against Team International.
Yeah, Aiden Cristiano and X.
Who we just love in real life there, Aiden Cristiano. What a great guy. Read the sarcasm.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Is he going to be listening to this podcast?
He might.
I don't care.
He might.
Yeah.
So,
is this being brought to you in Espanol?
No, this isn't dubbed in Espanol.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you might get away with it.
Yeah, there you go.
Y'all finally, though, won, and it was just aired twice on the Cube, y'all's tag title match.
Which is very
match.
Cool. I also hear it's going to be aired once we hit... Soul to South Network.
Yes.
Going to air that title match again.
Yes, national television. I don't quote me on it. I think it's April 1st, though. Right.
Yes, yeah, beginning of April.
Beginning of April. Sometime in the beginning of April.
Cheap plugs, too.
Cheap plugs. You know, we just have to do it. We have to do it. But what did that...
These aren't cheap. Like, these are spendy plugs for ROW.
Yeah, you got to pay good money for the ROW advertisements. But let me ask you this. What did winning those tag titles mean to y'all as a brother tag team coming down to Booker School?
We'll start with Eric speaking here.
And huge pop, by the way, when y'all won.
Crowd reaction.
Here in Texas, they call it soda.
Soda. Okay. We've learned that.
Yes, we've been, introduced to the culture, and you don't ask for pop here, you ask for soda.
So we
soda those people at the end of MMA. It's just a lot of soda. It was getting pretty sticky. Eric speaking, until we lost that first match, I didn't even realize how much I won the titles.
Yeah.
I'm like, tag team titles, that'd be cool and all that, but if it's not our time, it's not our time. And then when we lose, I'm like, we don't really want the belts.
I really want those titles.
Yeah, I really want those title straps. So, it took us another match or two later just to figure out what needed to be done to win. And then we were told from the beginning down here, we won't insult people's intelligence too much. Booker said, if you want to do well here, the people need to like you, simply put. And he gave a couple examples of guys on the roster, like they weren't winning matches until they got themselves over. And he said that to us and is like, challenge accepted. Like, I will show you that Eric and Andrew Lockhart can get over. And like you said, we consistently, from the time we come out to the time our matches end, the people tend to soda. I'll let you, Andrew, talk about finally winning them.
I think it was most exciting for me, showing up that day because we didn't really know about it. It was kind of last minute, couple hours before. And we never really had anybody come out to the events for us, and there was a good number of people there that we knew personally. And just the fact that was our biggest crowd. Yeah. That was our biggest crowd we had, sold out, standing room only. Well, that was January and February. And then it just kept on escalating. It's like, because it's just going to be Eric having a match that night.
Yeah, and that was like, the original plan.
And I talked to Booker, and he's like, maybe we'll have you do the match. And then it was like, we'll just do a tag match. Okay, we'll do a tag team title match. You guys are going to be the main event. You guys are winning it just kept on going on and on about that. And so it's kind of one of those things, but it was different until we walked through the curtains knowing that this has always been a weird thing of mine. I always take the first guy who walked out for the show and then the last guys that walked out and just saying, like, that's an honor to open and then to walk out last. And we were the last people to have our entrance on the shows. As the challengers. Like, we came out. And so I think everybody just knew there was something special. Like, I remember being in the back and hearing you announcing, the, like, the main event.
Yeah.
Team International's band, crowd just getting excited.
Band from ringside.
Yeah.
And then you'd start saying to Richmond and our music playing, and we just went out there, and it was so crazy.
For me, I'll just share the story, because we're about to have to wrap this up. But for me, I remember, I didn't know what the outcome of that match was going to be. I was watching, I had the privilege of watching as a fan that match, and I actually went and I sat in a seat in the audience during y'all's match. Had my mic with me. I had to be ready.
Of course, but I
wanted to sit in the ring, because I love tag team wrestling. I love watching tag team wrestling. Obviously, Booker, one of the greatest, Booker and Stevie, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there watching in the crowd, and you know, y'all win, and you know, 1, 2, 3... then the crowd sodas, right? And, yeah, you know, and I got to announce it, man. And it was just a really cool moment. And that place was loud, man. And I think they wanted to see y'all win really bad. To tell y'all this, I know my mother wanted to see y'all win really badly. My mom is a fan of the Brothers Lockhart, to put that out there. Shout out to my mother.
Women love their Lockharts. Say that all the time. Especially older women.
They were sliding out of their seats that night.
It was a cool moment. I'm sure it meant so much to y'all.
Very much did, yes.
To win the title. So what's next for the Brothers Lockhart?
You know,
episode 3.
Part 2. Yeah, apparently, you know, we're running out of time here. We need to
extend this.
Yeah, we're
running
short. Are we? Yeah, running short. We're running over.
Running over a little bit, yeah.
I mean, Lockharts are always over.
We're always over.
Like, our time, too.
And we're always pushing our time limits. How do we always get pushed? I don't, like... it's astounding. Yeah. But what's up next for us? Like you said, there's glass ceilings for tag teams. And I've kind of been thinking about this. Andrew and I haven't discussed it a whole lot. But, like, why have that glass ceiling on a tag team that's just a tag team? You know, you have the guys who are two separate identities, and they're established, and they come together and become a tag team, win the belts, and then they can also do other things while they're a tag team.
Yeah.
Well, why can't a tag team that's established as just a tag team go on and do other things in a company? Like, why can't one
without
of us go for, like...
Up?
Yeah, exactly. Why can't we have the tag team titles and go for a television title? Or go for a heavyweight title? Why put a ceiling on tag teams? Like, we're here to compete, and we've beaten every team thrown at us. I'm not going to get, you know, too high on ourselves here. I'm going to stay humble. But, like, why not give us a couple other options? Why not throw all the champions into a match? Like, I mean,
we talked about that before. Because we see, I mean, we enjoy our tag team. We think we bring a whole new light to the tag team division, not just in ROW, but around
the broad and
expanse
of ROW tag team division.
Just because, like, we take it very seriously, and it's not just, like, going there double clothesline. Like, we take a singles move and just throw two people in it. We're more innovators than imitators, is how I've always saw it. And like Eric said, yes, we're proud of being a tag team, proud of being a brother tag team, but doesn't mean we're just going to settle with that.
Okay, well, let me say this. Gun to y'all's head, favorite tag team of all time. Start with Eric.
Start with Andrew.
Oh, man.
Favorite tag team all time, Andrew.
Is this gun loaded?
This gun is loaded.
Oh, okay, well.
When you have to say favorite, you got to think of, like, when the music starts, like, they get their, it gets your attention. Promo, match, whatever they're doing. You just want to see what these guys are doing. Big shocker here. It have to be the Rockers. I didn't grow
promos,
up watching
right?
the Rockers. Yeah. Those Mario Jannetty promos always get me. Which he needs to be a part of ROW one day.
Yeah.
I'm pushing for that 6-man tag. You hear that, book?
No, go ahead.
But, like, Rockers, I didn't grow up watching them. I mean, I did, but it was always video, because we didn't really have cable right away.
Yeah.
If I had to pick a live team, Edge and Christian were always a...
Yeah, Edge and Christian. You talk about total package right there, from promos, segments, all the way to in-ring stuff.
Music, funny, entertaining,
music,
hated
entrance, yeah. I mean, growing up, obviously, we were watching in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And, like, everything else was just tape that we'd watched before it, so... I'd actually probably have to say it's right along the same line as the Rockers, but growing up, I was a huge Hardy Boys fan. And you talk about, like, that's the energy they bring to their entrance, and they continue throughout the whole match, and the energy when they're going into the finish and people are still with them. You can't compete with that.
Definitely.
So. We really like Too Cool, just to throw that out there. Too Cool were our guys.
Too Cool. I mean, there's a lot of tag teams. But a lot of tag teams. I mean, heck, I'm big into the brothers thing. I loved what they just did with Goldust and Cody Rhodes. That was great.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah.
Tag team wrestling is amazing. We're going to have to, we're all out of time. We will, down the road, at a later reality check, sit down and we'll do more talking, because we have so much to talk about with the Brothers Lockhart. The current reality of wrestling, tag team champions, and maybe the future television and heavyweight champions.
With the current ring announcer.
With the current ring announcer, Brad Gilmore,
and
here.
Face.
And I'm the face, no, of reality of wrestling. Just put that out there.
Face in the rear end.
At the same time.
You know what? You know what? If Brad Gilmore or Abel Andrew Jackson are the faces of ROW, we're at least the behinds of ROW.
Yeah.
They get a lot of attention.
We'll put that out there, but I appreciate y'all.
We appreciate you. Thank you for having us, Brad.
All right, thank y'all. Tune in next week.
Watching TV, cause watching is easy. Always in a hurry, gotta hurry, gotta hurry, gotta hurry. You catch up to everyone who is just like me, and just like me, cause I know he's got a soul, I know he's got a soul. You can see it in his eyes, oh yeah. You know she's the thunder in the sky. She's the only reason why, the only reason why, the only reason why. She would be afraid to die, or he would have a gun. He's got a gun, so I can bring it to his side. Oh yeah, you can see the bullets in his eyes. She's the only reason why, he's the only reason why, he's the only reason why he would be afraid to die. Money.
other girls. They got choke chains and they got diamonds.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.